Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're on
go,
ESPN
Duke.
U up till 10 a.m. Duke.
Sling that thing, Key.
You know I got you winning the whole thing, right, Jay?
You got Duke winning the whole thing?
Yeah, in this bracket, yeah.
Oh, how many brackets do you have? Show. How many brackets have you filled out?
A couple brackets.
Okay.
It's amazing that I got Yates to switch up the music a little bit, you know, because it was heavy East Coast vibes
That's
for
good.
A minute.
Nothing wrong with that.
Key, y'all going to win today?
On the rap game, and then I switched up. We got Michigan State.
Yeah. Tom Izzo. I mean, we had him on the show.
Yeah, Coach Izzo, that's my homeboy. You didn't even know that, though, Jay. You know me. Izzy go way back.
I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, we go way back.
So y'all going to
beat him? Itty
bitty. Y'all going to beat him?
We got a decent team. We got a decent team.
Okay.
Got a legit shot. If we come to play.
Yeah. They struggle to score sometimes. You got a legit shot.
Yeah. We got, yeah, we okay.
Yeah, 12-15. 12-15, I'm watching.
LeVan, very confident of you. We have a decent team if we come to play.
No. Meaning they are a very good team when they're hitting on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, you can be lackadaisical. You can not do certain things the correct way, and you wind up losing.
Who is your most and least favorite athlete? That's what we're asking. Because per sports poll, as of January 2023, beginning of this year, Aaron Rodgers, to say he's the second most favorite active player in the NFL, trailing over only Mahomes, is a little bit misleading. Because what they're really saying is...
Why is it misleading?
Because he got, across all sports, he got 1.3% of the votes as people's favorite player. That was the second most first-place votes to Patrick Mahomes, who had like 1.5%, right? So to say that makes him the most favorite? No, it's the second largest group of people list him as their favorite athlete, right?
I'm completely lost now.
You know, like so here's the difference. If I gave you a I don't want to get into the methodology, but just all right. If I gave you a for example a choice based on a certain number of points that an athlete would get for being voted first, second, third, fourth, fifth, etc., and you redid the vote, I don't think he would come in second overall. You see? But if you just count first place votes from the largest number of fans, then 1.3% of fans across sports say Rodgers is my favorite athlete. I don't know if that makes him the second most favorite guy.
But based on this, he's the second most favorite guy.
The second largest group of people, which is a tiny fraction of the overall percentage, say he's their favorite guy.
Okay.
And that trails only Mahomes. That's something. It's not nothing. Something.
That doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me either.
I mean, I like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, sure.
I think a lot of people like Aaron Rodgers.
Great player.
So, real quick before, just to throw something else in context, normally Brady wins these by like double and triple what in terms of everyone's favorite athlete. But obviously this is current athlete. He's retired, so he doesn't count. So the numbers for Brady compared to everyone else is double and triple when they do these type of polls.
Gotcha.
And this is athletes across all sports.
So they do that.
Steph Curry is. Like Steph Curry.
I don't even know.
Steph Curry to me seems like he's more. I would think he would be more likable than Aaron Rodgers.
I agree. I'm surprised that a higher.
But you got to also remember
though,
Jay.
Football.
Yeah.
Football. Basketball.
Well, hold on. Yeah. So one of the things within this also, they did like familiarity and superstar, and Rodgers grades higher than the NBA average, right? So 52%. Of people are familiar with Aaron Rodgers, whereas only 41% are familiar with NBA players, and 85% consider him a superstar.
I hate to take that with Steph.
I can't, right there when you start talking about Steph Curry, I wonder if that means
that, like, are these actually sports fans, or are they just random people? Because
even if they were random people, they're not sports fans.
Rodgers, the NFL has such a high profile, Key, that people who don't follow sports may be more aware of him.
Steph Curry is on your television when there's not sports on.
Holy moly, that's true, all these other things that he does.
But I'm willing to believe that a star football player is more known to people who don't know about – like the Aaron Rodgers is more known to people who know nothing about sports than Steph Curry.
In the United States?
Yeah, I'd be willing to believe that. Not to sports fans.
Yeah, I would be willing. I would.
So.
Be, I, I would be willing to believe that based on what you just said, Max.
Yeah.
No. Because you got to think about
people who know nothing about
you got to think
sports.
About the quarterback in football. Wait, hold on, Jay. Okay. Jeopardy. His name constantly being in the news, like just in the news for the last 3 years, just constantly every single day. You know, he's got some State Farm stuff. I mean, he's got some of the same. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
No, I can see
but
that.
He's in
I
a
can,
high
I can
profile league.
That.
Yeah.
I can totally see that.
If you're reading this, don't forget, most liked. Like, you have to know something about somebody. And a lot of stuff that sometimes you see in the media, things that I read skewed towards not making you like Aaron Rodgers sometimes.
No, but we're just talking about popularity standpoint.
I get it, but, like, that's I'm going to fight here for Steph on this one.
And he probably
Steph has won multiple championships.
But that's a good point that Jay's making, though, Key, that if my argument is these are casuals who know nothing about sports, then whatever information they are getting about Steph is going to be positive, and Rodgers is going to be mixed.
Like, you got to think about the timing of all of this too. Rodgers trends just constantly. His name is everywhere all day because of where we're at right now. Mm. We're in the middle of the off season, talking about football. Football in this
NBA playoffs have not started yet.
Yeah. So you got to think about where we're at right now. Yeah,
I wonder if they did it during the NBA playoffs, if it would change things. It might.
I mean,
it might.
Last year.
What is our caller saying? What the guy from Boston or wherever he's from?
From Boston?
From Boston. Who's
Wasn't somebody from Boston?
No,
or
from
New York.
From New York. Bill in New York has something
York.
To tell us. Who's your favorite and least favorite athlete?
No, it's not.
I'm going to keep it in the present as of right now, is me personally. As a Buffalo Bills fan, my favorite athlete is Josh Allen by a landslide. Okay. Class act, face of the franchise, a beast out in the field, everything you want in your guy, right, is your team, your leader. And my least favorite right now is his teammate, wide receiver Stephon Diggs.
What?
Trying to show him up on the sideline after the playoff loss to Cincinnati.
What? Oh, God.
He didn't play well.
What? Oh, God. Stop it, Bill. What are you talking about?
Bill, how do you
quarterback
think,
hasn't played well?
How do you think Josh Allen feels about Stephon Diggs?
That's why I'm calling, because Josh Allen is a class act and won't say anything, so I'm out there saying it for him. No class by Diggs to do that. Allen's
Josh
not going
Allen's
anywhere.
Bodyguard.
Oh, God. Take your Pampers off.
Diggs is a good player. Diggs is a good player. That's not how I want my receivers back.
And Josh Allen, your receiver. I know what you want. You want your receiver to stay in line. Just do it this way. Well, guess what, Bill? It doesn't work like that. The guy played horrible, so therefore his teammate was ticked off and let him know about it.
Bill, I have a question for you, Bill. How many times have you seen Diggs stand up Josh Allen like that?
Is Allen going to act like that?
I'm sure Allen side-eyed him a couple times.
Bill, answer my question, Bill.
Take a breath.
How many times have you seen Diggs stand up Josh Allen like that?
During midseason, McDermott had to pull him aside, getting his ear about it. During the game, Allen underthrew him one. He's doing the hands up. I look at it this way.
Yeah.
If you got
throw
52,
the damn ball.
If you got 52 Stephon Diggs in the locker room acting like that, you no longer have a team, and
you have a championship is what you have.
If the guy stops throwing the ball, Bill. If he stops throwing the ball to the other team, you'd have a Super Bowl by now.
What's interesting about Diggs and Allen, guys, if you ask me to list all the receivers and all the quarterbacks, I have them, both of those guys slightly lower maybe than some people. I have them both around fifth or sixth,
Great combination, but
I think they're the equivalent of each other at their position, right? They're both elite, maybe just outside my
top
five.
Don't you dare ever show up the quarterback.
Andy in Texas, what do you got?
Told you they always take.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, baby.
All right. Hey, first of all, I just want to say, Keyshawn, I know people do this to you a lot, but, man, you are one of my favorites. I've owned two jerseys in my life. One was Curtis Martin, and one was you, sir. So congratulations on an awesome lot.
Appreciate it. I appreciate it. Mm. Andy's my guy, man.
Now, sir?
No, I said you're my guy.
So, Aaron Rodgers, first of all, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, when he has his jersey on, I always root against him. But he's identifiable as a person because as he's in a position that all of us say that we would do if we were there. You know, like he sometimes he's condescending, but when he is, it's to the right people, because who hasn't wanted to, you know, say a certain thing to their boss and not be able to do it? But at the same time, he's cool and he's suave, you know? So I think he's identifiable to blue-collar people in that manner. And it's also funny that he's right behind Patrick Mahomes. One time I snubbed Patrick Mahomes on accident, and he was so gracious about it.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Like you bumped into him? What happened?
Oh, I was at a Texas Rangers game in 2018, and a bunch of kids were running up to this guy to get, or maybe 17, and a bunch of kids were running up to get this guy's autograph. And I stopped one kid, and I was like, "Hey, who is that man?" And he goes, "Oh, that's Patrick Mahomes. That's the Texas Tech quarterback." And as a Longhorn fan, I was like, "Poof." Like, oh, well. And Patrick looked up at me like, oh, you'll know, and kept finding autographs. It was so he's classy. But anyways,
so
I think that's why
Aaron
Rodgers. Oh, no, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
Yeah. Quite a laugh that Andy's got there. All right, listen. Thank you, Andy.
Max,
he cracked himself up a couple times. You didn't hear that?
Because it was funny.
It was funny.
Yeah, he was very amused
by
it.
He snubbed a Texas Tech guy being a Longhorn.
I like it. His laugh had a lot of mirth. Let's put it. All right. Who is your most and least favorite athlete? 888-SAY-ESPN, KJM, ESPN Radio.
My guy, Kellerman.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. That's right. You pick up that telephone. Pick up the telephone. People are like, what does that mean?
What's the telephone?
Call 888-SAY-ESPN. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can tell us your most and least favorite athlete.
What's wrong with you, man?
This can't love you, Key.
I'm going to have to make sure my lips is right. I'm thinking about getting flipped. And
you give up.
What? It's so disturbing to even think about, you know?
Huh?
What people do to themselves.
I might flip them and then have them injected, you know, rolled. Remember, I think that's what they call it.
Oh, remember Sinead? Hey.
Sinead. I was watching that the other night. Oh, man, that's one
Sorry
of my favorites.
You, Martin.
Yeah. Sinead.
Dana in Richmond.
You would have, though, Jay. 100%.
100%.
Yeah, of course you would have. I know you.
Dana in Richmond, you're on KJM.
What's up, Max? What's up, Keyshawn?
What's up,
Jay?
What's good, man?
Hey, Jay, I got to say this right quick. Jay, you from the East Coast, man. So a lot of your takes, man, they ain't going to understand it. But you be right on point with it. I'm going to give you that right off the bat.
What they got to do with his takes? Because he's from the East Coast. What they got to do with anything?
You know,
you'd
be at the West Coast.
Because I'm from the East Coast, Key. I'm from Jersey, bro, originally. So I'm going to roll with Jay on that. That's why.
Uh-huh.
Hey, look.
Oh, man. Aaron
Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, man, I don't know who did that poll, where they did that poll at, Man, don't nobody like Aaron Rodgers. I don't know where they took that poll at. But
1.3% of the population loves him, Dana. 1.3% is what he got.
Okay. I don't know where they at. But in the real barbershops that I go to, man, don't nobody like Aaron Rodgers. But Green Bay Packer fan. But let me throw this other one in right quick. Hey, Jay, you said about 2-3 weeks ago, man, and I'm with you with this. Man, I hope Philly fall out the first round in the playoff and be to Portland. Let's go and be to Portland. Him and Dame Dollar together.
He's not going to no Portland. And Embiid's not going to Portland.
I threw it out there. All I'm trying to say is, yo, if they don't make it out, can you imagine if the Sixers don't make it out of the first round from the history that you have with Doc Rivers to what are you going to do with James Harden? Like, at some point, if you're Joel Embiid, and I know Philly fans are going to hate to hear this, but you have to look in the mirror and say, yo, like, is this the place I want
to
be?
Does it really matter geographically to somebody like Embiid? Yep. Does it matter though, Jay?
So. Yep.
See, I feel like it don't matter to him either geographically to him. Like, to him and Giannis, if for some reason I feel like geographically it doesn't matter to them.
But, Key, it's an issue of – I understand what you mean, because if you're not from here and you're happy here, there are lots of great American cities, and it's nothing against Portland. It's your games are on late. You're tucked away up in the corner in the, you know, of the country.
No, that's not – but that's not – but that's not
– yeah, yeah, but you're with the Lakers.
That's not why I said that, though, Max, because they're not from here. They've been here long enough to appreciate all parts of the U.S.
Sure.
I'm saying this because from what I can tell – they don't seem like the type of nightlife guys that it really matters to.
I don't think that's what it's about. I think, you know, if you're Embiid.
No. When you pick a certain region, it's the lifestyle. It's the comfort level of the lifestyle, being able to do things, be able to go places and be able to just the weather, all that. I just don't sense those two, especially like an Embiid, really caring that if he played in Sacramento or Portland, where if it was like an AD, or a Westbrook or something, or James Harden, they're trying to play in a city that got a little snack, crackle, pop to it.
As much as the NBA and the media now, you could be a star anywhere, it's not quite the NFL. If you're tucked away up in Portland, even if you have success, it is not the same as being in Philly or Boston or New York or L.A.
Yeah,
there's a real difference in terms of your brand. And Embiid has a big star
personality. But I don't know that they care about that.
I'm going to go back, and we'll get into this about what Dame said. Like, see, the media wants it to be about the big market, and I need to have a place that allows my personality to expand. There is a Hooper side of you. It's like, yo, what team has the best personnel? Or, like, is there a player that I really want to rock with that I feel like can complement me the best? Like, there's that aspect of it, too, that factors into these decisions. It's not all about market.
Can you think of a market like Portland where a superstar player has either tried to force a trade or signed as a free agent? I'm sure. I mean, there are so few examples. Maybe you can come up with
if you go back in the heyday, Scottie Pippen wound up there.
He wound up there, yes.
But he could have very easily said no.
Okay. That was toward
the end
of his
career. And he was coming from Chicago with six championships.
He was one of the top players in the NBA. He joined a very good team. He was still excellent. There's one example of a guy who got traded there. Right.
Well, you just...
That's why I just
you
said.
Don't even know what you just said, though, prior to me saying
I said,
that.
I said, if you can give me, you may be able to give me one or two, but those would be the exceptions that prove the rule, because we're talking about in the history of basketball. Just not that many examples.
I think people are cut from a different cloth these days.
Daryl in Inglewood, you're on KJM.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
What's up, baby?
Man, he from the woods. Hey, see, man. You had an East Coast dude calling Jay, and Dana and I got me a West Coast dude, and Daryl calling from the woods.
Inglewood?
Yeah, man. No Key, good. I like you, man. When you was at West LA, my nephew was on that team with you, man.
Okay.
And Jay, I picked Duke, man, and now I got one of those perfect brackets going on,
okay.
Dog.
Okay.
I picked him because hearing you every morning, because I check you guys out every morning. And I love how you guys are articulate and funny. You got the music playing. You guys got the whole total package, man. I appreciate you guys, man.
Did you say you have one of the 658 perfect brackets?
Yes, sir.
You're one of the 658 out of 20 million?
You got Furman and Princeton?
Yes, I got those. I went from the gut because I've been following basketball all year, and I knew Virginia had a history of choking against those Devil Seas, and I went with that. But I was on the fence about that Duke, but then when I saw you, and the way you be hyping Duke and stuff, man, that's the only reason why I even like Duke. I used to didn't like Duke because I didn't like old boy.
Oh, Christian Laettner?
Tall white guy. What's his name?
Christian Laettner?
Which one?
Yeah, man. I didn't like his arrogance, man. I didn't like the way they did
that happens sometimes.
Michigan back in the day, man. Yeah, you know.
Which one?
Because I was balling back then right there. I won the Drew League a couple of times, man. So mm-hmm. I was in the thick of college.
You realize you're 600 – you're one out of 658. Your bracket – is one out of 30,000 plus. There's less than a 1 in 30,000 chance to get a perfect bracket so far.
The game that I'm really scared about, to be honest with you, is that SC game, man. I'm just hoping that they don't fall on their face, man.
No, we got this, man. No trip. We got it.
I hope so, man. I hope so, man.
Michigan State is a brand. They just a brand right now.
Yeah.
The name, you know.
They got a hell of a coach, though, man, and that's what kind of scares me.
Yeah, no, we got a nice coach, too, but Michigan State is a brand. Michigan State is one of them, you know, the logo's going to get you. That's how that is, but they not like that. We got this.
Frank, yeah. All right, that's
good. Yeah, I remember when the SC's coach was at Florida Gulf Coast, and they made a deep run, and that was the thing that made me go with them. I said, well, you know, maybe history could repeat itself with this mm-hmm. guy. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping, man. But I really appreciate you guys in the morning, man. You guys get my day off.
Hey, hold on. Who don't you like? Wait, because before we have to do a commercial here, who don't you like? Which athlete don't you like? Which athlete do you? Who's your most favorite, your least favorite?
Mookie Betts from the Dodgers is my favorite.
Yeah, that's a good one.
My least favorite is Kyrie Irving, man. I didn't like the way he held the team hostage, man, and he cost me some money last year, man.
It's always who costs you money.
He costs money, yeah.
But Mookie Betts, I'll bet you, is a popular choice, right? Like, for those who follow baseball, Mookie Betts is an extremely likable superstar, has a lot of postseason success, won the World Series multiple times.
I see that.
Yeah. All right. A lot of people want to talk about this. Hey, by the way, what team should be on upset alert today? Should I ask the last caller? What was his name?
Daryl.
Daryl from Inglewood is one of 658 brackets left perfect in the ESPN Tournament Challenge, according to Daryl. Who's going to get upset today? You probably should have asked him this. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Princeton Magic is alive and well. The Princeton Tigers upset Arizona, 15 over a 2.
This group did something special for its university, for the fans, for the former players, and for one another.
Save it inbounds, does to Larson. Up to Creasa. Creasa fading three for the top. Left side of the rim, no. Grabbed by Awoba, and Awoba is fouled.
Maybe an upset on paper and to the country, but it is not to us.
Sound courtesy of Westwood One NCAA Radio Network.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by ESPN college basketball analyst, former college basketball coach Tom Crean. Morning, Coach.
TC.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to both of you, all of you.
Which of the big upsets yesterday were you most surprised by, Princeton or Furman?
Oh, Princeton, no doubt. It was an incredible coaching job, and it started – The number one key to beating Arizona is you have to take away their transition because of how well they run. Tabellis, Balo, those guys are tremendous runners, and usually Creasa does a fantastic job of pushing the pace. And it started early in the game where Princeton had two people in the paint constantly, and they always had somebody at the free throw line defensively and really never came above that. So they couldn't get into their high-low game. They had trouble with the middle pick and roll. They couldn't throw it over the top. And I thought the defense of Princeton really, really stifled everything Arizona was trying to do. And it just, they never ran on them. And it's one thing to get back, but it's another thing to play with pace. And I don't think Arizona ever played with that pace. And then the very underrated part of it was how well Princeton attacked them off the dribble. Like, Princeton does not waste dribbles. They attack you. And it's deceptive. But Matt Alaco, guys like that, Tosan, those guys were phenomenal driving them. And they just never let Arizona have any comfort level whatsoever.
Tom, I do want to take you back to the UVA-Furman game for a second, because I would agree with you that I think Princeton is the bigger upset. But UVA has been in a lot of close games, obviously one of the best defensive teams there is in college basketball. Pace of place is a lot slower than other teams, so it can keep teams in games. But there's a part of me that felt like UVA lost that game more than Furman won. And I know that's like a cliche that we say in media, even though Furman knocked down the shot, obviously, to win it. But Kea Clark, as a guard, I started to lose my mind. I'm curious how you felt as a coach when they caught the inbound pass and they trapped the first guy and they threw the ball back to him. When he put his head down, Tom, and just put the ball down on the ground, I try to explain to Key and Max. It's almost like a cardinal sin, right? Like, as a guard, you always want to turn. Where is the defense coming from? Don't be rushed in the situation. And the last thing you want to do, TC, is put the ball down and dribble the ball towards one of the side, like the sideline and the baseline, which are extra defenders. How'd you see that last play?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and he's done a really good job throughout the year of playing with his head up. I mean, in the game, he did a good job of attacking the rim. And you don't attack the rim with your head down, you attack it with your eyes up. And really, in that situation, he should have taken on the nearest defender and never been in that position and try to dribble through it, or most importantly, dribble to the outside of it. But I'm with you, Jay. They lost the game on offense. They really did. And in the first half, it's a tough way to lose, because in the first half, they were hurting Furman. They're the best at two-man game inside of the possession, meaning, as you know, that they're going to get two-man side pick and roll throughout their possession. I mean, they do so many unique things offensively with the flares and everybody's in movement, but they completely got away from side pick and roll on the two-man game, and they got away from middle pick and roll in the second half. And really, the points, the way I saw it, were about 13-2. 13 in the first half, 2 in the second half. Now, they got flares and things like that, and they got movement. But then the other thing they did defensively is they went under pick and roll, and they were short on shooters. And as you know, in this tournament, you've got to have range. Range is shooting is not the equalizer. Shooting is not the thing that separates you. Range is what separates you, because you've got to be able to have not Steph Curry range, but you've got to be able to have range to create short closeouts if you're going to make threes, because the defenses are usually so good. So I'm with you on both accounts there, no question about it. I feel bad for him losing the game that way, but he should have never been in that situation and should have at least attacked the nearest defender.
The coach, Tom Crean, ESPN college basketball analyst, joins us this one on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coach, obviously with some head scratchers yesterday, who can catch that heat today and be sent home in today's big upsets?
I don't. It's a tough question. It'll be very interesting to see how Pitt plays TCU, and because TCU has struggled when Mike Miles can't get it going in the half court, and he had 1 point against Texas, because as you know, and it's like Arizona, great running team. Yesterday was a complete half court game, and if TCU doesn't run, I would say this in more of a general sense: if teams can't play their style of play. And Arizona was the greatest example yesterday. If they can't get into their style of play and they're forced to do things that they struggle with in the half court, you can take a player away, they can't run their offense as well, the lane's compacted, that's where you see it. Because then what happens is panic starts to set in. And then the other thing that's such a big difference is the length. Like, I look at Iona and UConn. Iona is a longer team, but they haven't dealt with that kind of length that they're going to see from UConn on a daily basis. Now, you can hurt UConn if you can get him in early ball screens. If you can get Sanogo to not set up in the paint and play the way he wants to play, and you get them in an early ball screen drag situation, now you can hurt them. You can spread them out. But if you start playing half-court basketball with UConn, you're not going to beat them. So I don't know if it's as much who could do it as much as who's going to be able to go to something when their main thing is not working. And that's what's going to be interesting to watch today.
Tom, I've known you for a long time, the Marquette days to the IU days of Victor Oladipo, obviously spending time with you and Vic. And you've had such an incredible coaching career. And I'm really intrigued by this next question and how you answer it. You know, what you saw trending yesterday back to the UVA game was Tony Bennett and the lack thereof success in the tournament outside of the 2019 national championship. Obviously, the memorable loss to UMBC as a 1 seed to a 16 seed. Obviously, the loss the other day, the loss in the first round to Ohio in 2021. As a head coach with the experience that you've had, how do you look at Tony Bennett's overall legacy thus far? Because I feel like people just overlook a 6-time ACC champion and they want to take it to the lack thereof success in the tournament with these early round losses. I don't think that truly epitomizes Tony Bennett in overall.
Oh, no. I think I did a game when they won at least the tie for the championship when they played Louisville a couple weeks ago. And had the game for ESPN2. And you sit there and you think about the fact that he's won those 6 championships and how hard that league is. I know the league isn't getting a ton of credit this year, but that doesn't matter. I mean, that's a hard league. I mean, when you got Duke, Carolina, Syracuse, all those teams in your league on a constant, consistent basis, and you're winning like he did, I think that's big. I think what happens is it's the immediacy bias is you look at this, and he's had a couple of losses in the tournament, but there's no way that defines him. I mean, if he had 1 championship in that league or he was good every once in a while, now maybe there's a different conversation going on, but no way. He's too good a coach. The program. And here's the other thing, and I had an NBA executive tell me this as I was preparing for that game. The Virginia guys usually overreach their draft potential because of all the things that they can do coming out of there. And so all of a sudden, like, you're drafting a guy maybe a little bit higher because he knows how to play. And so look at the pros he's turning out. So I think he's got the whole situation going there. And, again, he's still got a national championship on his record.
I think that was well argued, or at least explained. Tom Crean, ESPN college basketball analyst, former college basketball coach. Coach, before we let you go, why do you think we've been getting so many 15-2 upsets last couple of years?
Because it's almost like, well, first off, the majority of those teams have had success in a tough league. The low-major, mid-major conferences don't get nearly enough credit for the level of coaching, the schemes, the tactics that go into it, and the different ways that you have to win. So they've been through a lot. And I think if they can come in, and again, very few 15 seeds can't shoot and they can't pass. They can. They can pass it, they can shoot it, and more often than not, they're very, very comfortable playing in a spacing game. They're comfortable moving people around. Like, here's another example with Arizona. It's maybe the biggest one on defense is they did not guard the ball because Princeton just absolutely attacked off that dribble. But they brought Ballo and they brought Tubelis out constantly to have to guard on the perimeter. Guard past the three-point line, not to the three-point line, but past the three-point line. They had to guard the ball. They had to guard randoms. They had to guard shooters. And so I think that's what you have. It's unique preparations in a 15 seed. Certainly there's some mentality that goes into it with the 2 seed of I don't want to say overlooking, but it's hard to stay as locked in, especially if you're coming off winning your conference tournament or just playing 4 games in 4 days or 3 games in 3 days. And it's almost like sometimes those teams are looking for a mental break because they jump ahead a little bit. But that 15 seed's not jumping ahead. That 15 seed's very, very comfortable playing the way that they have played. And if you don't make adjustments as a 2 seed inside of those games, or if you're not well-versed on dealing with a lot of versatility, it's going to be a problem for you. And I think that's what it is.
Tom Crean, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, TC.
All right, Coach.
Anytime. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Have a good day.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
I'm ready to play today. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, today. ESPN Radio, were presented by Progressive Insurance.
You can see.
Did you play center, Key?
Center field.
You were fast, so did you play center?
I played it all, Max. Yeah, Jay.
What was your favorite position?
I think. Well, I caught when I was younger until I got taller.
Right, too big to be a catcher.
But I would, I would say probably being at, it was weird, probably being at third, first, in the outfield.
I wouldn't think you third base would be for you. I would think center field.
I liked
field.
It for whatever reason.
First
I liked
because
it.
Of your height.
I liked it, but when I pitched, I liked that because I had a natural movement on my balls. Mm-hmm. It just was something that just naturally would move. It would never. It was natural movement with the heat. But Jay, I think you can connect.
See,
Are you talking about? Are you talking about BP, which is batting practice, or are you talking about? Like, what do you mean?
A live pitcher?
No, nobody gave me like a specific example.
Okay, so what did you mean?
I don't know what I mean. I just felt like I could hit a baseball like by
am I throwing BP to you, or am I on the rubber, out the stretch, and am I really, like, trying to get you out?
You really trying to get me out?
Yeah, not a chance.
Not a chance.
Yeah, not a chance.
This all started because Pat Costello said he could throw for 10 yards in an NFL game.
Out of 10 pitches, I can't make connection with the ball at all.
No.
No, you can. You might be able.
Just
it's not going to be. It's not going to be a foul ball. It's not going to be a foul ball because when you come and you swing to get around, you're going to be so far behind the pitch, most likely. Jay, trust me, man.
Jay.
For a dude that played a high level, as they would say in baseball, because it's high school, and that's a high level. That's a high level. And it's hard as hell.
I'm not saying it's not hard. I just bet on my hand-eye coordination.
No, Jay,
yeah, but Jay, he would
make contact if the pitcher was pitching to contact. If he was trying to get in on his bat, get foul tip, whatever, something like that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If Max Scherzer or any major league pitcher was like,
it's not going
to
happen,
If the job was for him to make sure you wouldn't make contact, you would not make contact.
I believe in you too.
Yeah.
That's why I picked you for my 2-on-2.
Well,
but
when
you start talking about,
is that the hardest thing to do in sports, Key?
I'll let.
Are you telling me that's the hardest thing to do in sports?
Hit a baseball? Yeah.
Hardest thing to do in
for
sports?
For somebody that's never done it before?
I mean, I've done it before. I played Little League.
For somebody who's never done it before, it's probably the hardest thing in sports to think of. Shooting a basketball, right? Yeah. We see it all day long. Oh, my God, my tuition got paid. You know, that's easy. But hitting a baseball from a Max Scherzer or Verlander,
Clayton Kershaw's
throwing at 80 miles an hour
that
right
curveball,
now.
Forget it. Yeah, forget it.
It's
so
not
is there one special pitch like a curveball. Like it's just I can't hit a curveball.
You would run
so
out of
a major league stuff. You're not hitting any of that.
Let me tell you
major
something.
League stuff.
So 10 pitches of the same pitch. You're saying I still have no chance.
Well, if you made the pitcher throw it to the same spot on the same pitch, yes, you could make contact.
No, same pitch, not saying same spot. Max,
Key
no.
still thinks I can't do it.
Key, if Clayton Kershaw's like, look, I'm going to throw you this curveball. It's going to break right here. Jay could time it and do it. But if
199%,
the job was,
Jay would move out of the way as soon as the curve changed.
Yes, the first couple times. But if the job of a major league pitcher is to make sure you don't make contact, it's like throwing 10 pitches in the strike zone, more or less. Make sure he does not make contact. You would not make contact.
Jay, when the curve comes at you, Jay, the curveball is coming at you, you're like right-handed, right? So you're on the right side. Yep. When it's coming at you, it's coming at your shoulder, outside of your shoulder, and it's coming down to you, and all of a sudden that thing does that. And you will move completely out of the way. Trust me. I'm telling you. Now, as far as Pat Costello goes, can he complete a 10-yard pass in the National Football League?
I'm not Pat Costello, though.
He can complete a 10-yard pass.
It's possible. It's not impossible. It's just the odds are against
him. 100%, yeah. 100%.
But the odds are on any given play.
All you got to do is throw the ball to me, and I can catch it.
Yeah, but
that's not hard.
You think Pat has quick enough feet to drop back in the pocket and actually make the throw?
Is he taking the – yeah. He all he got to do is go like this.
But here's the question, Key.
He just put it up and threw it.
Key, have you looked at Pat lately? Look at him. You're trusting that?
Wait, hold on. Key, here's the question.
The water boy can do that.
Is it theoretically possible? Of course. For him to throw a 10-yard pass? Yes. However, what are the actual odds on any given play someone throws, a quarterback throws for 10 yards? They're not that high. Now take a pedestrian. You got to throw for 10 yards. And how many
shots are you giving?
That's what I'm saying before he's carted off the field.
Well, not. It's not him being. See, look, Max, you got to remember, who is he throwing to? He's throwing to professionals.
Yep.
If he
and
took
you know
the
who's
ball,
coming to get him?
Yeah, professionals.
It doesn't matter.
Aaron
he
Donald.
Can he got people blocking.
Yeah.
He can pull away from the center and just heave the ball.
Okay.
And the A.J. Brown's going to go catch it. Keyshawn, Michael, we're going to go
but
Randy
Key,
Moss.
On any
we're
given
catch
play,
it.
The odds are not very high you go for 10-plus yards. That's for a pro quarterback.
Yeah, but he could. We're going to get open as long as he can put it in our catch
what are
radius.
Odds? Yes, I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm saying he's got to do it pretty fast in the first couple plays.
I'd give him pretty high odds, man.
I give him below 5%.
I feel so disrespected.
No, man, you got
to. I feel so disrespected. You guys are choosing Pat Costello. To deliver
it's
something.
It's easier to throw it for 10 yards.
I'm not saying it's going to have velocity. I'm not saying it's going to be accurate.
So
I'm just saying he can get it out of his hands.
This is the problem with this
and
show.
And throwing the catch.
Hey, look, fellas, sometimes it's just hard to be this elite of an athlete. I don't really know what to tell you.
The problem with this show, these narratives that are made up. Problem.
I'm not falling into your trap, Jay. I'm not falling into your trap.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that.
You're not going to do that?
No.
I'm trying to see if it's possible.
Who is your least favorite athlete?
Jay Will.
How about you, Jay?
Oh, I thought you were asking me.
Misha.
That was a great nickname for me.
Misha.
Misha was one of the best. I made a lot of money off of that. You know? Misha.
888-SAY-ESPN. KJM back after this.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.